Welcome to the Kim and Kyle podcast, where we give realtors and entrepreneurs the mindset, strategies, and skills that you need to build the business and life you want. Every week, we're bringing you guests or ideas to help you market your business for the year we live in.
This episode is brought to you by Planned Social, the number one social media marketing solution designed specifically for realtors. If you struggle coming up with ideas of what to post, creating captions that drive leads and customer retention, then this is the solution for you. Each month, you get captions, photos, photography shot list, training ebooks, videos, and more. For details, go to plannedsocial.com and use code KKP20 for a 20% discount. Again, that's plannedsocial.com, code KKP20 for a 20% discount. Also, there's a free trial available, so you can give it a test run.
Welcome back. Today is a very special episode and one you're going to want to grab a pen and notebook for. Up to this point, we've done just solo episodes between Kyle and I, but on the back end, we've been working really hard on building a great roundup of guests for you all. But we didn't want just anyone, so we've been working hard because we wanted to make sure we were bringing on really great guests who have paved the way in their own sense and in their industries. They'll bring valuable content and advice to our listeners, and most of all, who are just all around really good and down-to-earth people. So without further ado, today we've got our first guest, who's a very special one and one you're not going to want to miss, Christine Quesada Hoskins. She is a top producing realtor, not only in her local area, but she's a top producing agent in the Ohio Valley region who has reached such high success in just 6 years within the industry. She's a savvy businesswoman, a community leader, a fantastic chef, and most of all, a great friend of ours. In this episode, she's going to give you all the secrets to growing a successful real estate business while keeping your clients at the forefront of it all. Hope you guys like this one.
We're live.
Hello. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, Christine, tell us a little bit about what you do. What do you do?
What do I do? Well, I became a realtor in 2014. So about 6 years I've been in the business. And I love to sell houses. I love to work with my clients and build strong relationships. And That's basically what I do. Do you have more questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got lots of questions.
Nope. That's it. End of show.
End of show. What did you do before real estate? Let's go back in time a little bit.
All right.
Where'd you grow up? We'll go all the way back.
All right. All the way back. Born and raised in Western New York, which is actually not far from where you're from, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Not too far. Rochester, New York. And went to college in the Finger Lakes on Keuka Lake, gorgeous area, and went for business administration with a concentration in marketing. And my first job out of college was actually selling fax machines, which, you know, for the younger folk may not know what those are. It was a thing. And then I was in different sales positions. When I had my daughter, I was a stay-at-home mom and really was a stay-at-home mom for about 16 years until she got her license. And in the meantime, had two boys as well. But throughout that time of being home with them and super grateful for having that opportunity to do so, I ran a few home-based businesses. I also, once we moved to Kentucky, which was in 2006, I was substitute teaching. And you know, a lot of people are like, oh gosh, that's dreadful. But I actually loved it, you know, because I got to know so many people in the community and got to know who my kids were playing with, who their friends were, who their teachers were, who the parents were. And it really got me rooted into Georgetown quickly.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Do you think, and then you went directly from substitute teaching into real estate?
Yeah. I mean, because I really don't like kids. It's the reality. Yeah. No, I loved substitute teaching, but I knew it wasn't something that like fed my soul. So yeah. As soon as Allie got her license and, you know, I knew that it was really time for me to do something that I would really enjoy. You know, yeah. I loved the flexibility, all of it that offered, but I wanted to do something that I enjoyed and could kind of put my marketing background into play, my relationships into play. And so then I did that. I got my real estate license And it's been a whirlwind. It's been a great 6 years for sure.
Yeah. So I think when you started in real estate, did you start as an individual agent or did you start on a team? How did you decide on which brokerage to go with?
Yeah. Good questions. So I had a friend socially that was in real estate. He was with Keller Williams. He partnered with his mother. And so every time I thought about getting my license, I kind of thought about them. And, you know, I think whenever you're getting ready to take a leap into a new industry, you pick the brains of the people that are already in that industry, right? So those were some of the conversations that I was having. And so I reached out to him and said, okay, for real, I'm doing it this time. I'd mentioned it before, but I'm really doing it this time. And he said, great, let's partner up and, you know, bring you on the team and you can run with us. And I primarily ran with his mom and we partnered. And she and I had very similar styles. She was very community-based and relationship-based. And so I went on as her buyer's agent within Keller Williams and did that for 4 years and learned so much. You know, I think that that's the value of being on a team is that you get all of that experience that you wouldn't otherwise have just doing a couple handful of transactions because you're hearing those conversations and you're hearing, you know, the frustrations and the drama and the all of the things that go into getting, you know, from contract to close.
Yeah.
So I would say that for most people, for the success you've had in 6 years, especially in an industry like real estate, it's pretty impressive. Not many people can say that within a 6 year time span, they can reach the level that you've reached. So do you think, you know, your marketing and business background and doing all the sales type jobs had more an impact? Or do you think that kind of the teaching and getting rooted in the community and building relationships had more of that impact to your early success?
To my early success, I would say in my early success, I think it would have been more of probably the relationships because the hardest part about real estate every single time is getting the business. You know, I mean, I work with a lot of newer agents now and a lot of people reach out to me thinking about getting their license and that's it. Like every day you wake up unemployed, you know, and you've got to find the business and you can be great at all of those things. But if you don't have the client base, then it's not going to go anywhere. So I think that for me, and there's so many ways to do this business and so many people do it differently and do it, you know, really well as well. But for me, it's, you know, making relationships with people and providing an experience that's worth sharing. So last year we sold 75 homes, which really was me and my transaction coordinator. She's full-time. She's a licensed agent, but she really does all of the background. She doesn't work with any of the buyers getting them into the contract, but does everything on the back. And then we're bringing on one buyer's agent. So we do a lot of volume for a few of us. And the majority of that, about 76% of that is repeat and referral. So that's our focus. And I think because of my marketing degree and that background and, you know, kind of putting that experience on social media and making that visible for people and really constantly asking for that referral, I think that that's what has partnered with the foundation as well.
Yeah. So I think that your entire, from what I'm listening to right now, your entire business is built more on your brand and your client referral system versus actually running a sales organization. Like I know a lot of people are really sales focused and sell, but you're more on, I've built these relationships and I've cultivated all these friendships while I first moved to this town and was a substitute teacher. And now I'm leapfrogging from all those relationships to help those families in a more significant way than just, you know, substitute teaching or whatever. You're really getting involved with all those people that you built relationships with.
For sure. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think in my experience in our business and stuff like that, I view that as a much more long-term ability to build a big business than just getting one sale after the other sale. It makes it so much easier. And then what's your opinion on that? And also how do you keep those relationships going.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, I think that there's a lot of top producing agents that do a more transactional business. To me, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah,
I could never be really excited about going into the office and just kind of dialing for dollars. And people do it. They do it well. And that's great. It's just, for me, I love to love on my clients. And, you know, whether that's just thinking about them or driving by their neighborhood and giving them a call and checking up on them, or client events, which obviously right now in the current climate is more challenging. But we focused on those things and, you know, just staying in the front of their mind, whether we're reaching out to them or we're, you know, doing consistent posts on social media. I think that, you know, that relationship, so that they know who that I am, they know kind of my personality and valuing them and me knowing who they are. And so that when they think about buying or selling, they're going to call me, and, you know, provide a great experience to them. But then also when their mother has to sell, they're like, oh, you got to call Christine. Or when their kids are ready to be first time buyers, to call Christine. So,
yeah. So now we're talking about your business right now. Let's step back a couple steps. What held you back from starting your real estate career earlier? Like when you were a substitute teacher, why did you want to do that versus just going right into real estate or right into owning a business?
My kids. Yeah. You know, my focus was to stay home with my kids, and real estate is hard. It's 24/7. It's super demanding position. And if you're going to do it well, you know, I remember having coffee with another realtor early on, and she said, do you want to be part-time or full-time? And I said, I want to be successful. And she said, well, working in this business part-time is like climbing up a rope with one arm. And I've shared that to so many other people because it's true.
It's a good analogy.
You just, you know, transactions turn into transactions, but you have to stay in it. And I know that if I'm not super responsive to a client, somebody else will be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the only great option out there.
Yeah, exactly. And we all have the same license and the same ability to do it. It's just your relationships and what you've built. So the reason why I asked that question is because I know, and I've heard a ton of people back out of their job, their corporate job, because they had kids and get into real estate part-time. But you being in real estate 6 years, you kind of did it differently than all of these people. Oh, I just had a kid. I want to control my own time and I want to just work when I want to work, because I just had this kid. Well, you, whenever you had kids, you said, that doesn't make sense. I want to do something part-time to make a little bit of money to make ends meet. So I'm going to be a substitute teacher, cultivate all these relationships. 6 or 8 years down the road from now, I'm going to expand those relationships and then start a successful real estate business.
Right. I mean, I wish it was that planned.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to help the people that are listening plan ahead.
Right.
You know.
No, and for anyone that's getting into real estate, for the flexibility of it, find another option. It's not flexible. It is not flexible. It is, you have to be available 24/7. And, you know, during that time, especially in the beginning, you know, my kids heard a whole lot of, I'll be right back, I'm going to go show one house. And then it turns into, 3 hours later. But there's a lot of that. So I think that, you know, the flexibility should not be the motivation. And so many people reach out and they're thinking about getting their license. And a lot of people I talk out of, because it's like, if that's what you're going into it for.
Yeah. And that leads into another question that I had. And what is a piece of advice that you would give, not necessarily to the mom that's just had a baby, but a college student? I know entrepreneurship and being a realtor and being your own boss is super popular right now. What is your advice for someone that is just graduating from college? Would it be to do that, or would it be to do something else and learn from that experience and then do it later? What would you say?
I think that my sales background, working for someone and learning cold calling and, telemarketing and customer service And I think those skills are really important. There are, you know, real estate is such a great opportunity because there are young people that kill it. You know, I mean, they walk into it at 23 and just do an incredible job. So it just depends on how you're wired, but you've got to be prepared to just do what it takes, everything, you know, and it's you're creating it. So if you're prepared to go find it, then do it. But I think sometimes that experience helps.
Yeah. Yeah. So if your advice mm-hmm. would not necessarily to be an individual agent at the beginning, mm-hmm. either kind of join the team, which is kind of the same as getting hired on for a business, or get a job for a while, build some relationships, and then.
Yeah. Yes. I think that my experience on a larger team to start was invaluable. Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. And now that I'm working with my own buyer's agent, she just said this to me yesterday. She's like, oh my gosh, like I cannot imagine starting this without a team because every deal is different. I mean, I could sit down with her for 3 days and give her all kinds of hypotheticals. And as soon as she walks out to do another deal, there's going to be something brand new that I couldn't have ever dreamt of, you know? Yeah. So I think that, yeah, just having people around you to bounce things off of and to help you get through it. Because, you know, especially in this market, getting a listing, yeah, that's hard, right? Finding a buyer, that's hard. But getting people to the closing table, that's where we earn our money. And, yeah. you know, and for sale by owners are putting signs in their yard right now and they're seeing some success. But that's what I tell them. It's like, you can find a buyer, but are you going to make it through inspection and appraisal and everything that it takes to get through there? That's really where our value is.
Yeah, yeah. And those are some other relationships that people don't realize that realtors have. You have the relationship with the guy that can come in and fix your baseboards and do some touch-up painting and all of the stuff that's before inspections or whatever. That way that you know all of these things are fixed, all of these little things, so that the transaction runs so much smoother. Getting people pre-approved with the right lender that fits their criteria.
Absolutely. Things. No, I think that that's such a great point, is that my relationships with contractors, lenders, and fellow agents, mm-hmm. like that is one of the most important thing. Like as high as I value my relationship with my clients, those relationships of those agents that I'm working with time and time again, that we're working together to make sure that we do find that win-win, you know, and everyone feels successful at the end of it. So yeah, super important.
Yeah. Another question I had written down is, what is a bad recommendation that you often hear other people that have success that they give that advice or recommend to newer agents? Like what is something that you feel like that is told a lot in the industry that's like, I don't really feel that way? That's a tough question. I need that Jeopardy music on this question.
Bad. Gosh, Kyle, I don't know. Because I really do feel like there are different ways to do it. I know for me, you know, it's not one size fits all. And I think that sometimes when I'm in training classes or I'm listening to mentors talk to new agents, I think a takeaway could be that it's one size fits all. And it's not. Like, I think the most important thing is being your authentic self. So for me, I love to be in the kitchen and I love to cook and I love to do that. So we've brought that into the social media and kind of into building those relationships with people and helping them get to know me. Now, if someone hates to cook and they go and try to recreate that, it's not going to work for them because it's not authentic. And so it's not one size fits all. And I think that although scripts are really important because, you know, we all have scripts in everything we do. You have a script, you know, everything we do is somewhat scripted and it's okay to listen to those things, but you've got to adopt them and make them authentic to who you are.
Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit because I think people getting into real estate, what I think is that most people would naturally have a knack to be able to build relationships. You've already got friendships. You've already been in a workplace or been in college or you have family in the area. So you already have some circle around you mm-hmm. of relationships. Not, I think 100% of people have that. Maybe like 40 to 50% of people are really good salespeople mm-hmm. who can just go out and start cold calling and make it successful that way. And you've really built on that relationship mm-hmm. aspect, which is what I'm thinking should be the focus of a lot of people getting into real estate at first until they can learn those scripts. And if that's the route they want to go, more of the cold calling, go that way.
Right.
So what kind of actionable tips would you give someone? Because like you said, right now, we can't do a lot of client events mm-hmm. and dropping things off at doors and stuff like that. So what kind of actionable tips would you give someone kind of starting out to kind of nourish those relationships that they already have, remind people that they're a realtor, and so they are the person that they would come to?
I think the easiest way to do it is social media. I really do, because, and I think sometimes in the beginning, it's hard when you don't have experience. I think it's hard to expect your friends and your family to use you, right? Because this transaction is probably the most important and the biggest financial investment that mm-hmm. someone has. Yep. And I've worked with young, new agents before where they've thought, why are my friends not working with me? Why are they choosing someone else? They know that I'm an agent. But, you know, you have to recognize the fact that it's a big deal and they want to know that they're in good hands and they want to know that you're experienced. And that's another benefit from being on a team is that, you know, even if you're brand new, you can say, you know, we have this experience collectively. But to get back to your question on that, I think that, you know, as people see that you are busy and that you have experiences and that you're at home inspections and that you are, you know, working with a new buyer and you have a listing coming up, and when they see that activity, then they're like, oh, she's actually doing this. And so, and she yeah. must know what she's doing because other people are trusting her, you know?
So we were actually just talking about this. We just did a podcast last week on the importance of building that kind of personal brand within real estate, because mm-hmm. not many people are choosing you because you're at Keller Williams or Remax or whatever. Like, not many people right. know the differences or really care. But then there's been a lot of talk about Zillow coming on as their independent brokerage now. And what's the one thing that's going to keep you in business against these big companies is building that personal brand.
Yes.
And being that person who shows up and shows that you're working hard, because at the end of the day, people want to work with another person.
For right? sure. Yep, absolutely. It is, for me, it is all about the relationship, because I really, you know, when I'm working with these clients, I treat it like it's, you know, my daughter is a first-time home buyer or someone else mm-hmm. because it's important. And I want them to trust me. I want them to trust me and know that I've got their best interest. And, you know, maybe they won't always get the answer that they want, but I want to know that I'm their advocate. That is my job, is to be their advocate. And so, you know, people do business with people that they like and that they trust. I firmly believe that. And I think that this business is no exception to that rule at all.
I think this business is that rule.
You're probably right. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's the prime example of that rule.
Yep. So, you know, just having that always out in the forefront. And again, you know, you guys do social media. That's what you do. And it's hard. Like for mm-hmm. me, I feel like I'm fairly private, always was on social media. And so it was hard for me to kind of put myself out there in that light. And so it was really just kind of one of those things. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what I wanted to look like, but for me, I had to outsource it, because otherwise I would have second guessed it. I would have talked myself out of it, procrastinated, whatever, you know? And so, but to put that out there, and that I know it's helped grow my business.
Yeah. And, you know, that being said, I know a lot of real estate agents and people that advise, consult, coach, whatever in real estate, tell people in real estate that they need to be on social media and they need to use it for their business. And you worked with us before and still do, we preach that you need to build a personal brand on there. And mm-hmm. a lot of those people think social media is a place just to list their houses that they yeah. have just listeds, just solds. And that is not a personal brand. That is something that people don't want to follow along with. People don't care. They want
Agree.
To build a relationship with you. And the easiest way to build that relationship is by you showing up, not your houses showing up.
For sure. And I think if we look at, you know, the numbers and the engagements on my social media, it's really, it's not the just sold or the coming soon that gets the reaction. It is, you know, a family picture or my crazy dog that people love or, you know, a recipe. I just did air fryer donuts. And I think that was like one of the biggest things. And, you know, I mean, they're better fried. I mean, the air fryer is fine, whatever, but, but people love that video, yep. You know? And so I think that that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, people, they aren't picking you because you sold X, Y, and Z house.
Right.
That's important, and they need to see that on your marketing, that you are selling houses and that you are busy in the industry. But I'm going to pick you because I'm hoping you're going to make me donuts after we close. Like, I enjoy that part, and that's interesting to me, and I want to be your friend. And at the end of the day, that's why I'm going to reach out to someone.
Yeah, and that's what keeps them around. People stay following you, and you keep those long-term relationships. Like, 3 years from now, you're going to do a deal or get a referral from somebody that you did a deal with last year.
Yeah.
And they're going to stay around and know who you are.
Which because, is rare in real estate. I think, what is the, they say, like, after
six months,
like 80% of buyers forget their realtor's name.
That's terrible. I mean, that really is so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see it if you're not building a relationship. If it is transactional only, that would make sense.
Now, I know companies preach, and like certain coaches preach, what is it, 32 touches a year?
The 33 touch thing.
33, yeah. Something like that. Do you try and keep that in your mind of like how many times you should be reaching out to them? Do you try and reach out to everybody every month, every quarter? Or is it just more kind of a natural feeling for you? And through social media, you're able to reach them every day because you make sure that they're all following you. How do you think that looks for you and your business?
Yeah. I just this morning was talking to my buyer's agent about she was getting a newsletter from another agent. And she said, gosh, I tried to unsubscribe and I can't. And I get this every week. And, you know, and we were kind of talking about that value add, right? Like we do a newsletter. We do it once a month. We put a recipe in there. We put some market trends in there. We put some local activities of what's going on. We try to give it some value so that people want to read it. Personally, I think once a week would frustrate me and annoy me on the other side because we constantly get inundated with emails. And I think that, you know, when I'm seeing it all the time, I hit the delete button and really don't pay attention. So I think that it's got to be a variety. And so right now, my model is the newsletter once a month, the three posts a week that are a picture and some content, and then normally two videos, short little videos a week. And then, you know, hopefully stories here and there and that kind of thing, just depending on what the rest of my life looks like, because it does get pushed off. And then client events. You know, we do Pi Day every year, which is really such a highlight. And anyone that's bought and sold with us or given us a referral that year gets a pie on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And it's just such a great time to see everyone's faces and wish them, you know, happy holidays coming up. And typically we do a back to school pool party right before, which, you know, didn't happen this year. We do some drop bys. We do, you know, just things. I don't have a real strategic, you know, 32, 33 touch. But we do have our things that we do on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for everything.
That's the key.
For sure.
Yep. 110%. What else? There was something that you just said that I was going to ask about, but I don't know. Consistency. Whenever you said consistency, that's the key.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're doing something consistently, you're showing up. People are following. People want to follow you because you're not just putting some random house on social media. I think the agents that put the house just listed and just sold, those are the transactional sales agents. Mm-hmm. Those are not the people that are trying to get the person to come back again.
Right.
You know.
And I would disagree because I think
for
social media in the real estate industry, people just don't know yet. It's kind of behind. We haven't really caught up, and they're doing what everybody else is doing because, well, that person's successful and that's what they're putting on social media. And I don't really know what else I'm supposed to be putting on social media because it's kind of weird and uncomfortable. And I
Yeah.
Don't take pictures all the time and I don't really know what to write. And so it's easy to put my listings.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where real estate is in social media, is they're still kind of learning that transition into what real marketing is and running your real estate business as a business mm-hmm. and not just a sales business.
Yeah. I know what I was going to talk about was a little bit of, you know, a lot of people think that if they do put their personal brand out there on social media, they think it needs to be super curated and they need to hire professional photographers or professional videographers. And I think that, you know, you are realizing that that's not necessarily the case as long as you have a plan.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of your videos on phone,
mm-hmm. which is perfect. Oh, yeah, for
sure. Because it's just showing up. You document what you're doing in the community. A lot of the stuff is cell phone pictures. They don't have to be. As long as you have a plan and show up consistently. Yep. What do you think about
that? Yeah, for sure. And people like real, you know. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be there. And so, you know, I think sometimes when it's too pretty, it's intimidating to people. So, you know, a little bit of mix of, you know, I mean, I got on social media and I was trying to pick a winner to some kind of contest that I was doing and it was a total fail. I don't remember, but you know, I mean, that's okay. Like,
yeah.
It just, you know, but, and that's the fun thing about stories. They don't really last anyways.
Yeah. You just have to try out things.
Right.
See what your people like. And people love when you're doing, like you said, those cooking videos or the recipes or whatever. And I think during quarantine, you were sharing pictures of the families working at home and,
yes.
you know, doing their stuff. So,
yep. Yeah. That's another thing we have a lot of fun with is our contests. Just, you know, to create that engagement. So right before virtual school started, we did dinners for some of our teachers. And so we had a contest and they entered in, people nominated teachers, and we gave away 5 meals to be delivered to their home. And that was a great thing. We got, you know, great feedback on it, great engagement. And that's an opportunity for me to grow, you know, right. and widen my span too, because people are tagging people that aren't already following me. So there is that, you know, purpose behind it. But it's a way to give back and have fun doing it.
Well, and you're making an impact as people are seeing that you're giving back. Mm-hmm. And then those teachers that win, that means a lot to them. Something yeah. that simple can mean a lot to someone. And then you're on their mind
for sure.
forever now.
For sure. And it feels good. You know, I mean, this business is, it's so all consuming that if you can't do those things that feel good and kind of feed your soul, I think it would be a drag. Yeah.
So I think that's sure. kind of how we want to end it yeah. is, real estate's hard.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're working 24/7. You're going to burn out at some point. Mm-hmm. So what kind of self-care do you do to get back to yourself, to refocus, regroup, and keep going strong through the entire year? What, like traveling or cooking or just taking a couple days off or shutting your phone off some days? What does that look like for you?
I'm not super great about shutting my phone off. I do normally love to travel and, you know, spend time with family and the important people in my life. And, for me to create that balance really was bringing on someone onto my team that, I could outsource and that I could, you know, give that to. And, Kara's been with me 2.5 years and she just, you know, my weaknesses are her strengths and vice versa. Like we balance each other out so well. And so I kind of, you know, do the marketing and get the contracts and then hand her a mess. And she makes sure that everything is tidy and good. So I love having her because she allows balance to me in my life for sure. And then having a buyer's agent to be able to do that. But yeah, you know, you run hard, you work hard, you play hard.
Awesome. So I think we can close it out here. Top 20 out of 3,700 or 4,000 or so realtors in our MLS, Christine Hoskins.
Wow.
Top producing realtor in the Ohio Valley region for Keller Williams. Thank you guys.
And top cook in Georgetown.
Top chef.
Top chef.
Gosh, guys, all the love.
All the love.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Kim and Kyle podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. If you want to grow your business, follow us on social media. And if you want to have a good day, go pet a dog.